Translation. Maharaj Parikshit, as a result of his wholehearted attraction for Lord Krishna, was able to give up all deep-rooted affection for his personal body, his wife, his children, his palace, his animals like horses and elephants, his treasury house, his friends and relatives, and his undisputed kingdom. Okay, purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay, it's quite a long purport, so please stay patient. To become liberated means to become free from Dehatma Buddhi, the illusory attachment for personal bodily coverings and everything connected with the body, namely wife, children, and all other entanglements. One selects a wife for bodily comforts, and the result is children. For wife and children, one requires a dwelling place, and as such, a residential house is also necessary. Animals like horses, elephants, cows, and dogs are all household animals, and a householder has to keep them as household paraphernalia. In modern civilization, the horses and elephants have been replaced by cars and conveyances with considerable horsepower. To maintain all the household affairs, one has to increase the bank balance and be careful about the treasury house. And in order to display the opulence of material assets, one has to keep good relations with friends and relatives, as well as become very careful about maintaining the status quo. This is called material civilization of material attachment. Devotion for Lord Krishna means negation of all material attachments as detailed above. By the grace of Lord Krishna, Maharaj Parikshit was awarded all material amenities and an undisputed kingdom in which to enjoy the undisturbed position of king. But by the grace of the Lord, he was able to give up all connections with material attachment. That is the position of a pure devotee. Maharaj Parikshit, due to his natural affection for Lord Krishna as a devotee of the Lord, was always executing his royal duties on behalf of the Lord. And as a responsible king of the world, he was always careful to see that the influence of Kali would not enter his kingdom. A devotee of the Lord never thinks of his household paraphernalia as his own, but surrenders everything for the service of the Lord. Thereby, living entities under a devotee's care get the opportunity for God realization by the management of a devotee master. Attachment for household paraphernalia and for Lord Krishna go poorly together. One attachment is the path of darkness, and the other attachment is the path of light. Where there is light, there is no darkness, and where there is darkness, there is no light. But an expert devotee can turn everything to the path of light by an attitude of service to the Lord. And the best example here is the Pandavas. Maharaj Yudhishthir and householders like him can turn everything to light by dovetailing so-called material assets in the service of the Lord. But one who is not trained or is unable to turn everything to the service of the Lord, Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe, must give up all material connections before he can be fit to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. Or in other words, one who has seriously heard Srimad Bhagavatam for even one day, like Maharaj Parikshit, from a fit personality like Sukadev Goswami, may be able to lose all affinity for material things. There is no utility simply in imitating Maharaj Parikshit and hearing Bhagavatam from professional men, even for 700 years. To take Srimad Bhagavatam as a means of maintaining family expenditure is the grossest type of nam aparad offense at the feet of the Lord. Sarva Shubhakriya Shamyam Api Pramadaha. Om Gyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I humbly seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavs, Vaishnavis assembled here, so that I can maybe share something that can be of some purification for myself and of benefit to everyone. So here we are. Krishna, Maharaj Parikshit, is with Shukadev Goswami. He's with Shukadev Goswami. He's in the middle, or he started this conversation, because he's been cursed. He's been cursed. And at the moment, Suta Goswami is describing to all the sages, the situation Maharaj Parikshit is in. And at the moment, Suta Goswami is telling everyone that Maharaj Parikshit, as a result of his wholehearted attraction for Lord Krishna, was able to give up all deep-rooted affection for his personal body, his wife, his children, his palace, his animals like horses and elephants, his treasury house, his friends and relatives, and his undisputed kingdom. So how could he do it? Because of his wholehearted attraction for Lord Krishna. So it's this attraction that we're yearning for. When will I be attracted to Krishna? When will I actually be attracted to Krishna that it's no longer an endeavor? There's no longer a chore. The alarm goes and it's like, oh, shall I not? Today this happened to me. The alarm went at 3:15, then it went at 3:30, then I just popped another hour, 4:30, and I still can't do it. Another hour, 5:30, I'm like, okay, now I've got to get up. So this is the thing when we don't have attraction, when we don't have real attraction. We have a desire to be attracted, and it's this desire to become attracted that we want to cultivate more and more and more. If we cultivate the desire to become attracted, then this natural spontaneous attraction can occur. And then, like for Maharaj Parikshit, it wasn't a big deal. When he got cursed, it wasn't like Maharaj Parikshit went into some terrible anxiety. Maharaj Parikshit was actually expecting this to happen. So he put the snake on the sage and Shamika Rishi, and then he went back to his kingdom knowing he had done something. And he was telling the people in the kingdom, something is going to happen. You know, I'm expecting something to happen because I've done such a terrible deed. I put this snake on the sage who didn't welcome me. So he was expecting something to happen. And when he heard the news that he has been cursed by Sringi, that he will be, that in 7 days' time, he'll be bitten by a snake and that will be the end of his life. He didn't go into panic. He didn't play the blame game. He just accepted his fate indifferently. And he accepted his faith in the mood of, now I can take the next stage in my spiritual life. So when different calamities come, are we seeing the doors that are opening? Are we seeing the doors that are opening for us? Maharaj Parikshit didn't just see, okay, the door is being shut. I'm no longer going to be able to be the king. I'm no longer going to be able to be a husband. I'm no longer going to be the father of Jamanjaya. I am now seeing the door opening for my liberation, for my salvation, for my eternal life with Lord Krishna. He could see the door that was opening. And so many times when we come across a difficult situation, we see the doors that are shutting. And because we're so attached to being in that place, that door that is shut feels like heartbreak. How can this door shut on me? Everything was going all right. You know, I've been coming to the temple. I'm associating with the devotees. I'm doing everything it says. I'm doing what it says on the tin. But the material world doesn't quite work like that. The material world is full of surprises. The material world is full of change. And I personally don't like change. You know, if someone says to me right now that, can you do this in 2 hours' time? I've got a plan for the day. And if someone wants to disturb that plan for the day, it kind of gets to me. I don't know how, I mean, some devotees, I think, like the dynamic life of having, oh, what's next, and the surprise. But for me, when something changes, you know, it becomes a bit awkward. And this is just little things. Even if someone said to me, can you go to the supermarket at 10 o'clock? And I've got, no, I've got to do this at 10 o'clock. And this is just simple little changes to one's life. But the material world does this in a huge way. Huge changes come to our life. And it feels like a total shock. I can't believe it. You know, like a relative passes away. Oh my God, I can't believe. But we see everyone passing away around us. You know, we see that the material world is not to be trusted. We can't trust our material situation. We can't trust that everything's going to be okay. The house will remain like this, and the wife will remain like this, and the children will remain like this, and everything will just remain rosy, and everything will just be nice because I come to the temple. And sometimes we get into this, belief that, okay, because I'm Krishna conscious or because I'm practicing to become a devotee, I won't go through anything. I won't go through any difficulty. But here Maharaj Parikshit, who Prabhupada describes that the two ways in one sense of becoming a pure devotee or of a pure devotee, he says one is to have Krishna consciousness from birth, and the others are blessings from the bona fide spiritual master. And Maharaj Parikshit had both. He was a devotee of Lord Krishna since birth, and he was blessed by a bona fide spiritual master. So Maharaj Parikshit had everything in terms of being a pure servant of Krishna. Prabhupada describes the curse as superficial. He said this in a lecture in Los Angeles, 1972, that the Maharaj Parikshit was superficially cursed. So what does it mean to be superficially cursed? I was thinking maybe it means he was superficially cursed in the sense that this is all Krishna's arrangement. In one sense, this is Krishna's arrangement. Maharaj Parikshit is now going to go to the Ganga, and we're going to get Srimad Bhagavatam because of Maharaj Parikshit's curse. That's how we're hearing Maharaj Parikshit's curse through the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the other thing that I thought of when I heard that Prabhupada said it's a superficial curse is, well, to Maharaj Parikshit, was it a curse? Was it a curse? Because a curse seems like something like that's really going to destroy us, something that's going to bring us down. But for Maharaj Parikshit, he saw this as an opportunity. Okay, now the time has come, this other door has opened, and I'm going to go through that door because this is the door that Krishna has opened for me. So a difficulty comes, and he sees the door that's open, and he goes, and he says he's going to fast till death, and he meets all these other sages, and then Shukadev Goswami turns up, and everyone respects Shukadev Goswami, and everyone's going to hear from Shukadev Goswami. And he's asking all these questions about creation, about Ashtanga Yoga before this, all for the benefit of others that are around him. And we see that when we put others first, like Maharaj Parikshit did when he went to the Ganga and he was asking these questions for their benefit, when we put others first, this is where we can get real satisfaction. This is where we can get real satisfaction when we take ourselves away from the center. When we take ourselves away from the center and it's not just all about me. Me and my spiritual life. And this is all that matters. I need to make advancement. Yes, but we can't make advancement at the expense of everyone else. That's not called advancement. That's called trying to win a rat race. So advancement means not putting ourselves in the center and trying to help everyone get closer to Krishna. That's when we can really experience the loving relationship with the Lord. When Lord Ram was, I could say cursed, when Lord Ram was told of the two boons that Mother Keke had asked of King Dashrath, which was that he goes to the forest for 14 years and that Bharat gets coronated instead of him, he didn't think of himself. He thought of everyone around him. He took himself totally out of the center. The curse was on him. It was fully on him. But he knew that it's not just going to be me that's affected by this. It's not just going to be me that's affected. Everyone around me is going to be affected. So when he meets King Dashrath, King Dashrath asks him, just stay a little longer. Just stay one more night. And Ram didn't stay. Because Ram knew the longer he stays, the harder it's going to get for King Dashrath. And he tells King Dashrath that it will be an honor for me to honor your word. He didn't break down crying. King Dashrath broke down crying. Lord Ram didn't break down crying. He could have. He was so attached to his father. But sometimes love is expressed not always by displaying the emotions, but by concealing the emotions. And this is what Lord Ram did, because he saw that what matters right now is not me. I'm going to take myself out of the center, and right now I need to look after King Dashrath's plight. And the way he could look after King Dashrath was not showing any emotion himself. It didn't mean that Lord Ram didn't feel bad. He didn't feel like he didn't want to go. But he knew that King Dashrath was in a very, very sorry state. So he says to King Dashrath, I consider going to the forest as an honor. Totally took himself out of the center. Then he meets Mother Keke, and Mother Keke is so angry, so got so much rage, because she really believes what Mantra had poisoned her with. She believes that this was a big conspiracy. Just when Bharat is out of town, they're arranging this big coronation, because then, and then what will happen is that the favorite queen will become Kaushalya. And when Kaushalya is the favorite queen, KK will be left to nothing, Bharat will be left with nothing, and Mantra, who was the favorite servant of the favorite queen, will no longer be the favorite servant of the favorite queen, because KK would no longer be the favorite queen. So mantra has created this whole situation because she's so concerned about herself. She's only looking after number one. And to look after number one generally means you ruin a lot of other people's life. And that's what mantra didn't care. Okay, Ram can go to the forest. Who cares about what happens to Sita? Doesn't matter about Kaushalya. Doesn't matter what happens to King Dashrath. Doesn't matter that actually KK will regret this. But at least as long as she can maintain her position. So we get so attached to our position that we forget what that position is for. That position is for the service of the Lord. And KK, or Mantra, liked her position purely because she got the opulence or the benefits that come along with such a position. So Ram, he's not put himself in the center. And it's a totally different ballgame. Because when he goes to KK and KK's angry and fuming, Ram sees the big picture and says, "My dear mother, I can't believe you did this to me." And KK thought, right, this is it. You know, she's got her boxing gloves up. She's ready for a fight at this stage. And Ram said, and how did he win her heart? He won her heart through love. He said, "I cannot believe that you had to waste one of your boons asking my father to send me to the forest. If you had just asked me by yourself, I would have gone. I can't believe you didn't think of me as your own son, that you could have just approached me by yourself." Totally silenced KK. Killed it with kindness, as they say. Killed it with kindness. Kindness is the way. He didn't act on impulse. He didn't play the blame game. Just like Maharaj Parikshit, he didn't play the blame game. Just like Draupadi, when she's being disrobed, she didn't have time to play the blame game. And she just took shelter of Krishna. Just took shelter of Krishna. Maharaj Parikshit didn't have time. Got 7 days to live. Shall I waste half that week telling Sringi that he shouldn't have cursed me? No, I'm just going to take shelter of Krishna. So Ram didn't play the blame game. Lakshman, he was a bit fired up. And we need that also. So he was a bit fired up, and he's going nuts, as it were. I'm going to kill Dashrath, and I'm going to go. Well, how can all this happen? The king is just totally besotted by lust for his wife. And what's happened to our father? Ram, let's go kill our father. You know, Lakshman's totally at it, but Ram calms him down. Ram calms him down and explains to him that this isn't a normal circumstance. This isn't normal. Mother KK loves us like the flow of the Ganga. She loves us with so much depth. And then Lakshman saying, okay, if she loves us like the depth of the Ganga, how did the Ganga dry up overnight? How did it dry up overnight? And Ram explains that this is the will of destiny. This is destiny. And sometimes we have to accept when things happen, when shocks happen in the material world, that this is destiny. This is what is meant to happen. And we act in the most positive, spiritually uplifting way in the circumstance that has come upon us. And ultimately, Lord Ram allowed Lakshman to come with him. He totally pacified Mother Kaushalya. Kaushalya was very upset, morose. She wanted to come with Ram. But Ram saw the big picture. I mean, he could be like, yeah, okay, everyone just come with me. You know, you sent me to the forest and everyone wants to come with me. He could have basically, the whole of Ayodhya wanted to come with Ram. He could have taken the whole of Ayodhya with him, and then all that would have been left would have been KK and Mantra. Who else would have stayed? Everyone would have gone. But Lord Ram didn't do that. Sometimes when we get into a conflict with another devotee, we're trying to find allies who are going to be on our side. You know, who's going to back me up here? Who's going to back me up? But ultimately Ram saw the bigger picture. And the bigger picture was that the kingdom had to continue. The citizens had to stay. And even when he saw So when he saw Mother Kaushalya, he said, you stay here and your duty is to look after my father. And he said to her, try and see things from Dashrath's perspective. Because Kaushalya was angry at Dashrath. Like, how could he do this? How could my husband... Firstly, he's neglected me all these years. Because all these years, he's just been totally into KK. He's totally neglected me. And now, just when I'm thinking that my son is going to be coronated, this is what he goes and does. What's wrong with this guy? So she's totally angry at Dashrath. But Ram sees the bigger picture. Ram sees the bigger picture and tells her, try and see things from his perspective. He doesn't want me to go. He's as hurt. He's in so much pain because I have to leave. And if you continue, if you show him all this remorse, that will destroy him. He needs your support. So again, Ram takes himself out of the center. He takes himself out of the center. He didn't say, yeah, let's go blame dad. Dad's the bad one. No, he took himself out of the center. He goes, and when he tells Sita, out of love, just stay in Ayodhya. Just stay. Stay here. Because the forest has got wild animals. It's scorchingly hot when it's summer. It's freezing cold when it's winter. There's thorns everywhere. There's snakes. You stay in Ayodhya. You look after my mom and my dad. You look after the palace. Make sure you don't praise Bharat in front of me. Serve him as the king. And you're just giving her instruction as to what to do. And Mother Sita's like, hold on a second. I'm married to you. And marriage means to stick with each other through thick and thin. And Lord Ram's like, no, but yes, but in this instance, you should stay here. And Sita says, just as you want to honor the word of your father by going to the forest, I also want to honor the word of my father. And my father had promised that I will stick with you through good times and bad times. And Sita even said to Ram, kind of degraded him, don't you want to look after me or can't you look after me? In a bit of an angry tone. And Lord Ram then realized that actually her resolve is so strong. Let her come. Lord Ram didn't take offense to the way Sita spoke to him, because in one sense she was attacking his masculinity, his ability to take care of her. Because he again saw the bigger picture. He saw the intention behind her anger. He saw the intention behind her upset feelings. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokul Ananda Bhagwan Ki Jai. Sita Ram Lakshma Hanuman Ki Jai. Gornitai Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. He saw her resolve to be with him. Didn't take offense. And the citizens who were so angry, they were resenting Dashrath, resenting KK. What did he do to satisfy them, to appease them? He just expressed how grateful he was. How grateful I am for the opportunity to please Mother KK's wishes. How grateful I am that I can honor King Dashrath's word. How grateful I am that Bharat, my dear son, a younger brother in Vedic tradition is like a son. How Bharat can become the king of Ayodhya. And the most amazing thing, most people have to wait until old age to go to the forest and associate with the sages. And I have the opportunity to do this in my youth. So here, totally appease the citizens. They totally... Well, I could say totally. They're more pacified. They're more relaxed about Ram leaving. Ram shows us how we should continue with our duty even when destiny is unfavorable. Even when destiny is unfavorable, can we continue with our duty? And this is what Maharaj Parikshit is doing here. As a result of his wholehearted attraction for Lord Krishna, was able to give up all deep-rooted affection. Param dishtva navartate. That when we have the higher taste, Krishna explains in the Gita that even though we have we have desires for lower taste, raso vajam raso pyasya, that param dishtva navartate, through the higher taste of Krishna consciousness, we can give up all lower tastes. And how? And Krishna explains that yukta asita matparaha, just concentrate on me. Just have all your attention, all your focus, all your devotion unto me. And through this devotion and focus, we'll be able to give up these deep-rooted affection. So Maharaj Parikshit, he is the example. He is an example. He's the example of Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. He's one-pointed in his determination. Okay, at this point, this calamity has come. My destiny is unfavorable. What's next? I'm going to, with my wholehearted attraction for Krishna. Why? Because everything he was doing was in Krishna's service. His ashram was in Krishna's service. Him being the king was in Krishna's service. Nothing was about him. He had taken himself out of the center and everything was about the service of the Lord. Everything was about how I can help others. How I can help others advance. How I can help others be happy in their Krishna conscious life. And this is what Maharaj Parikshit was doing. Lord Ram teaches us through these wonderful examples when he's leaving that it doesn't have to always be about me. We have the power to make any situation worse. Isn't it? Like, if we think about all the situations we've been in and how many times we've just made them worse because of how we reacted to those situations. You know, I mean, and if we have the, and we can, and I'm sure when we think about this, we can think of five, like really quickly, oh my God, I did that then. So if we have the power to make situations worse, we also have the power to make situations better. And the way to make situations better is to continue with our duty, even when destiny is unfavorable. Is to continue with our service, however, even if our service changes, but the mood of service to the Lord should continue. That desire to serve the Lord should continue. Even though the situation may change, the service may have to change, but service itself does not need to be replaced. Service itself is what we live for. And sometimes we have to renounce situations because destiny is unfavorable. Or it's the need of the hour. Like Krishna. Krishna, when he was in the battlefield with Jarasandha, he defeated him 17 times. 17 times. Then the 18th time comes along, and again, the battle's going on. But then, Krishna's got another thing going on. Krishna wants to go and sort Rukmini out. Rukmini's written this letter, he needs to go there, needs to save her. So he renounces the battle. He renounces the battle. And, you know what? He didn't mind what Jarasandha thought of him. He didn't mind. It's okay. Sometimes we're so obsessed with what people think of us that we forget to do what's best for our spiritual life. Or what's best for our service. Krishna knew he had to go and save Rukmini from getting married to Shishupal. So he renounced that battle and he doesn't mind Jarasandha thinking he's a coward or whatnot, and he goes up to the top of the mountain, etc., the whole story. He renounces that because he's got another agenda, a higher agenda. And sometimes we're so obsessed, so deeply affected by what do others think of me? I can give you one example. It's quite embarrassing to say, but during Kartik, I remember in the first few days of Kartik, the devotees hand out the words for Damodarashtakam. So devotees are handing out the words for Damodarashtakam, and I'm taking the sheet. And what I like to do was to read the translation while the bhajan is going on. So that while Namamishwaram, so while the song is going on, I read the translation, and that way I was thinking I could meditate on the words, and that way get really into the prayers. So I did this for 2 days, 3 days, and I think maybe on the fourth day, something occurred in my mind. And that was, what if everyone thinks I don't know the words? Like, I've been coming to the temple 20 years, and people may think I don't know the words. So then, like from the fifth day, I never took the sheet and I never absorbed myself in the prayers the way I did in the first few days, because I was so obsessed with thinking, but others will think I don't know the words. And what did I do to myself? I ended up stopping myself, blocking myself from accessing a deeper absorption in the Lord, because I was thinking more of what will others think of me. So the rest of Kartik went by, and I didn't do what I was doing the first few days, even though I was getting so much more attraction for Krishna in the first few days. But then my mind took over, and I was coming, but I was more thinking about what others think of me. And when we live our life worried and in anxiety of what others think of us, we're not being Krishna conscious. We're being me conscious. And to the degree that we are being me conscious, we can see it just with this example. I could see it with this example of just reading the words of Damodarashtakam and reading the translation, that to the degree I was just thinking of me and what others, how others perceive me, I wasn't able to access Krishna to that degree. I wasn't able to access more attraction and more absorption in Krishna to that degree. So if we can renounce, if we can just stop worrying about what others think of me. Because when it comes to, if we really think about it, if we are really concerned about what others think of us, then the next step to this is, okay, what am I doing so that others think of me, so that others think of me in the way I want them to think of me? So what do others think of me? What do I want others to think of me? And what am I doing so that others do think of me in the way that I want them to? And if we actually live our life like this, we're totally missing the point. We're totally missing the point, because it's not about what others think of us, it's about us thinking of Krishna. It's about us thinking of Krishna. And how can we think of Krishna? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that actually recollection is the fruit of deep-rooted affection. Recollection is the fruit of deep-rooted affection. And if we have deep-rooted affection for Krishna, then recollection of Krishna, remembrance of Krishna, will come very naturally. And it doesn't mean that every, you know, there's the example that I heard. It doesn't mean that every single second we're actually thinking, oh Krishna, oh Krishna. You know, it's a deep-rooted affection. So an example that's given is a family man. He has to go away for his work. He lives away from his family, and he goes away from his family to work. And because he's away from his family, he has more affection for them. No, but because he's away from his family, he's always thinking of them. He's always thinking of them because he's gone to get this job, he's gone to work away because he's trying to maintain his family. He's trying to love his family through this service of maintenance. But while he's out there in his job, when he's talking to his customers, when he's talking to his boss, he's not talking to them always about his children and his wife and his children and his wife, his children and his wife. He's talking to his customers about what they want to buy. He's talking to his suppliers of what he's going to buy from them. He's talking to his bosses about how much sales we made. He's talking to his secretary about his next appointment. He's talking to them about all the things that are necessary in his service. But deep-rooted beyond all of that is, I'm doing all of this for my family. So this is Mam Anushmaram Yudhyacha. Remember me and fight. Remember me and fight means we are doing what we are doing because of our deep-rooted affection for Krishna. And through this deep-rooted affection for Krishna, recollection will always be there. But then Krishna has to be in the center. We have to take ourselves out of the center. Maharaj Parikshit took himself out of the center. And when the time came, he could go. Lord Ram took himself out of the center, put everyone else first, and then he went to the forest. The Pandavas, when they were told they had to go to the forest for 12 years plus the 1 year incognito, they could go. Because they put others first. Lord Chaitanya, when he was offended by the Brahmanas, students, because Lord Chaitanya was chanting the names of the gopis, and the Brahmana students, one Brahmana student was saying, why are you chanting the names of the gopi? And they couldn't understand Lord Chaitanya's mood. They couldn't understand Lord Chaitanya's love for Krishna, and his rebuking of Krishna is in the mood of the gopis, Prabhupada explains in one of the purports. And because they were offending Lord Chaitanya so much, Lord Chaitanya knew that the only way to save everyone, to rescue them, the only way to rescue them is by taking sannyas. And by taking sannyas, they'll have to pay obeisances, and by paying obeisances, they'll become purified. So this is the mood that the Supreme Lord has set. This is the mood that the pure devotees, like Maharaj Parikshit, have set for us. Keep Krishna in the center. Take ourselves away from the center. Because the more we put ourselves in the center, the further and further away we are from Krishna. So that's a good time to finish the class. If anyone, Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Does anyone have any questions, comments, corrections? Please feel free to. yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for the wonderful class. Very nice presentation and connection with the Ram Leela and Ram pastimes. I have one question, and that is regarding basically the ethos of your class. In my understanding, was to put Krishna in the center, put other Vaishnavas in the center, put the servers in the center. What kind of advice would you give to a beginning devotee or beginner Vaishnava that if may, let's say, this sort of situation to putting others in the center may, to a certain degree, jeopardize his own spiritual advancement, his spiritual life? Because what was playing in my head was, as Prabhupada was using this analogy, that you wouldn't jump into the water if you don't know how to swim to save someone else. So to which degree we should think about others, think about other services, and forget about ourselves, and to which degree we should think, well, my spiritual life is at stake if I do this sort of activity. If you can elaborate on that.
Thank you, Antrangapu. How can we make sure when we're putting others first, we're not jeopardizing our own spiritual life? And if we put others first all the time, then maybe that could cause a problem in my own spiritual life. Have I understood your question correctly? Yeah, it's a really good point. I think we can't give what we don't have. That's one thing that comes to mind. We can't give what we don't have. And it's only to the degree that we have that we can give. So I think even whether we're at a beginning stage or we've been practicing Krishna consciousness for some years, it's very important from the beginning, like Prabhupada says, first be conscious and then be Krishna conscious. So it's very important that if we're conscious, we understand ourselves. We should know ourselves. We should understand ourselves. And to what degree I can help someone, and to what degree I can't actually help, because if I do something, I may actually jeopardize my own spiritual life. So, So I think if we're conscious about what I can manage and cannot manage, and it's consciousness comes by practicing Krishna consciousness from the mode of goodness. And practicing Krishna consciousness from the mode of goodness, we become more self-aware. And we understand our strengths, we understand our weaknesses, we understand where we can extend ourselves and we can understand where we can't extend ourselves. Like for example, if someone asks me, play madanga. Like, what will I do? You know, I can't play madanga. You know, but it's like, is it being selfless if I actually play it? No, because I can't give what I don't have. So then am I being selfless by playing the madanga? No, because I can't. I don't know how. I can't extend myself to that because I don't know how. So when we are putting others first, it's important that we are conscious about ourselves. So this is the whole thing about self-compassion, self-care that we hear about. All of this means that we look after ourselves so that we can serve others. So our consciousness is we want to serve others. Because by serving others and helping others, we know that's pleasing to Krishna. And that's taking ourselves out of the center. And by serving others, we need to make sure we can serve with what we actually can serve with. Hope that makes some sense.
Hare Krishna, there's something that, like Gargamoni Prabhu, he serves any way he can for food for life, you know, and sometimes Parashuram would just disappear, and he'd be left there holding the baby, as it were, having to support food for life. But what he's done, he's actually, he gives his, whatever he's got, even when he doesn't know what to do, he still gives. Mm. He just gets into it. And he's a sort of classic example of he finds out what he can do when he tries.
Mm.
And that's an interesting thing. You know, I take the point about if you don't have the ability, there's certain things that you're not capable of. But that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And all glories to Gargamoni Prabhu's service to Parashuram, because he just drops at a hat, whatever he's doing, he's there, Parashuram's gone, what can we do? We've got to carry on.
Wow. Thank you, Gargamoni Prabhu ki jai.
But the other thing attached to it is also, if we're looking at others, then we're thinking that I'm the doer.
Mm.
That the Prakriti Kriyanamani, we're trying to impress others. Mm. Then I have to become the doer. I have to impress others. And it's definitely coming away from Krishna consciousness, that we go back to trying to satisfy our image, which is just self-consciousness, it's false ego. You know, so that's
Thank
really
you.
The comment. So some selflessness, but committed, and but also when we think we're the doer. Really. So,
thank you, Prayojan Prabhu. Yeah, it's a very nice point that when we are really enthusiastic about serving and we're really keen to serve, then Krishna can work miracles through us. So, like when Prabhupada came to the West, he didn't come and look for talented people who'd be able to preach the message of Lord Chaitanya Dev. He just saw the enthusiasm of these hippies, and he didn't think about he just thought this one's got this much enthusiasm, and with that enthusiasm, Krishna was working miracles through all his disciples. So if we have that enthusiasm and we have that desire to take ourselves out of the center, we can see Krishna working magical things, like he did with all of Prabhupada's disciples in the early days. Thank you, Prayojan Prabhu, and thank you. Okay.
Prabhupada, Prabhupada sent Brahmananda and Gargamuni to Pakistan, in the middle of a war zone. They almost died. But if we do something on the order of the spiritual master, not only are we able to fulfill that order, but we're also protected. So the thing is not to do something on our own back, but following the instructions of the guru, the senior prophets. You know, Prabhupada would send his disciples to crazy places, but they did it. And they were, sometimes they were successful, sometimes they weren't. But they were protected because Prabhupada sent them and Prabhupada wanted it. So not to do it on our own initiative, always ask senior devotees for guidance, what to do. And then you'll be protected.
Yes. Thank you, Prabhu. Yes, so important that we take the guidance of our Shiksha Gurus, our Diksha Guru, because through the guidance of the Vaishnavas, we have that protection that this is coming from Krishna. So we get the guidance of the devotees, we use our intelligence, and we execute the service. Thank you, Prabhu. Anyone else like to share? Srinivas Prabhu?
Just on that point, if we do it on our own, we cultivate an enjoying mentality. If you follow order of guru and high authorities, we're doing in a service mentality. So that's the understanding behind it.
Very nice point. We're protected because we are doing things in the mood of service rather than in the mood to enjoy because I want to go here and I want to do that. It's more because this is what Krishna wants for me, and then that's the mood of service. Thank you, Srinivas Prabhu. Jay. Anyone else want to share anything? Jay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.